You know, I'm always amazed, as Rob said, there are times when I've got a word to bring. And I don't know whether it's me being silly, but at times I feel like I'm under attack and that Satan doesn't want me to do it. And the temptation at times is, well, oh, I don't feel very well, I'll stay in bed this morning. You know, but if you just rely on your own whims and your own strength, you're not going to get anywhere. You're not going to do anything. So today's message, you won't be surprised, I've entitled, "From Where Do You Get Your Strength?" From where do you get your strength? The reading I'm going to start with is from Matthew 26, 36 to 46. It's a well-known passage of scripture. I'm sure you're all conversant with it. It reads, "Then Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to them, 'Sit here while I go over there and pray.' He took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee along with him, and he began to be sorrowfully and troubled. Then he said to them, 'My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me.' Going a little further, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed, 'My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me. Yet not as I will, but as you will.' Then he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. 'Could you men not keep watch with me for 1 hour?' he asked Peter. 'Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the body is weak.' He went away a second time and prayed, 'My Father, if it is not possible for this cup to be taken away unless I drink it, may your will be done.' When he came back, he again found them sleeping because their eyes were heavy. So he left them and went once more and prayed the third time and said to them, 'Are you still sleeping and resting? Look, the hour is near, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us go. Here comes my betrayer.'" Wow. Such a short passage of scripture, but so much in it for us to just consider, meditate upon. But as we do, let's just come to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we pray that you will open up your word in such a way that we can have no doubt in what you have to say to each one of us here this morning. Lord, I ask that you open our ears to hear, and upon hearing what you have to say to us, that we act upon it. We become active. And Lord, I pray that you will just strengthen me this morning. Let my lips be your lips, Lord, and that anything that comes out that's not of you, just blow it away like chaff in the wind. I ask it all in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. You know, there's a film that my wife loves. And I must admit it, I quite liked it. It's a bit romantic in some ways, but terrific in others. And I like it because it all began where I come from, Belfast. You know, the Titanic was built in Belfast. As I always say, built by an Irishman, sunk by an Englishman, you know. But such is life. It's just over 111 years since the Titanic struck that iceberg in the Atlantic, and lots of lives were lost. You know, and when you count it through, the number of passengers lost and the number of crew are really quite close together. There was 832 passengers and 685 crew. Not quite one for one, but not far off it. You know, but thankfully lessons were learned from that disaster. That because they found out that there wasn't enough space on lifeboats to cope for the people that they were carrying. And you know, it's not like us in the world today. People in this world today, there are so many, and the Lord's got space for them all. And he's got life belts for them all. And all they've got to do is take possession of them. You know, but how many don't need it? I can swim. I can swim. Yeah, it's all right, but you can swim when you go to the baths. You can put your feet down and stand up and get out when you want and tell off. But when you get in the middle of the sea, well, it's a big different story. Linda and I, as you know, we enjoy to go on the odd cruise. And we've just come back from a med cruise, which was lovely. And the water was just like floating on glass. It was really good. No problems. And I think that's where a lot of our immigrants traveling across don't feel any fear when they're getting into these inflatables, because they see the sea so clear. But you know, storms can rise so quickly, as we read in Scripture. In the fishing boat, when Jesus was in with the disciples, he was asleep in the back, and the winds came up, and they were terrified. But they knew who to go to. They went to Jesus, and what did he do? He calmed the waves and the storm. No, but the thing that's comforting now, when you go on a cruise, it's getting a wee bit easier now. I've just realised, whether it's COVID's sort of stopped all of this congregating in one place. But on the last cruise we went on, before this one, we had a practice. You went down to your cabin, got on your life preserver, then the hooter would go, you'd make your way to your assembly point, and from there you'd go and find your dispersal point, what lifeboat you were to, and all this. This time, go to your cabin, there'll be a presentation on the television. See? And all you had to do then was get up from that presentation, telling you what to do, go to your assembly point, which in my case was number 14, and get your name ticked off. And that was it, you'd done it. So much easier. But, you know, if you've done it before, you've done it before, I suppose. That's life. Man trying to simplify things. But there is only one way that you can accept the lifeboat that Christ is offering us through his death on the cross, and that's by taking it and accepting him as our Lord and personal Saviour. You know, the other good thing that happens on cruise ships is you get a chance of meeting the crew from the captain down, and they're all presented to you. And that's if you go to the presentation, of course. But it's nice to know. I always like to go because I like to know who's in charge. Who am I putting my life, whose hand am I putting my life into? Is he capable of looking after it? Not just on the boat or get me safely. I'm going to get fed well. I'm going to be looked after. Because that's what you go on a cruise for, isn't it? To be pampered. But it doesn't matter how experienced the ship's captain is. You know, there are times when he too needs help. When he's going to a strange port, he calls on the help of an expert, a pilot from that port, to guide him into the harbour safely. And you know, in our Christian walk, there are times when we will feel that we are quite capable of managing our own lives. You know, we think we have the experience and the maturity to do everything and anything in our own strength. But just like that ship's captain, when we enter strange situations, we too can find ourselves out of our depth. And we will flounder if we continue to try and survive on our own strength. There is no way up, It's only down. When you enter strange situations, we need to realize that the Lord has given us that help. We have got our own pilot on board all the time, not just when we hit a strange port. All we've got to do is talk to him. Our Heavenly Father is well aware of this need for us, as was our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who commanded the apostles, as we can read in Acts 1, verses 4 to 5. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized by the Holy Spirit. Wow. So Jesus and the Father realized that they were going to need help. Nothing is possible without help from the Lord. In the passage we read from Matthew, it is clear that Jesus did not make any plans of his own without first praying to the Father. He did not operate in his own strength. He was always in communication. He always was well aware of what the Father's will was. As Christians, we are called upon to become more like Jesus, aren't we? And I put it to you, that's only possible if we follow Jesus' example. To grow more, to become like the Son, don't we need to behave more like the Son? I can hear it now. That's really hard. I know it's hard. I totally agree. I go as far as to say it's impossible. But that does not mean that we should not keep on trying. Keep on persevering, as Paul tells us. It is my belief that God will help us to grow into the likeness of his Son. You know, and his will for us to grow into the likeness of his Son, it's not because of selfish motivation, but one of love for us. You know, for if we become more like Jesus, what are we going to do? We're going to follow his example. We're going to communicate more with the Father. And we are going to be stronger in the Father and know his will, which will strengthen us in our walk. We will enjoy less stress and more joy. Wow, what a bonus. We can be strengthened and receive encouragement from reading God's word. In Romans 8, verses 6 to 8, we are told, the mind of sinful man is dead, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. The sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those controlled by sinful nature cannot please God. Wow. On the other hand, when we turn to Romans 8:14 to 17, we read, for those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you receive does not make you slaves, so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him we cry, Abba Father. The Spirit itself testifies with our spirit that we are children, God's children. Now if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his suffering, in order that we may also share in his glory. Wow, what a piece of scripture. You know, I love scripture more than anything else. The Bible is the only book that I can pick up and read the same passage time and time again, and I'll get something new from it each time I read it, depending on what I need at that time from the Spirit. I'm going to go through a couple of verses from Galatians. I haven't done it very well on for the overhead, so bear with me, because there's a couple of verses, the first three verses, I'm going to expound on a bit before I read it in entirety, but you'll understand. I'll bring it to you. Galatians 5, it's 14 to 26. In verse 14 we read, the entire law is summed up in a single command: love your neighbor as yourself. Now that's easier said than done, but that doesn't mean that we should not keep on trying. We will never succeed because we're human, but we need to persevere. We need to try. Verse 15, we are warned, if you keep on biting and devouring each other, watch out, or you will be destroying each other. The love of God is the only thing that can prevent that situation. He is the only one that will give you the strength to love your neighbor, especially when they're not very easy to love, some of them. But with his strength, nothing is impossible. In verse 16, we are told, so live in the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of sinful nature. For sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want. So it's important that we make use of that pilot that God has given us and recognize that we can't do it on our own. But the good news is, we don't have to do it on our own. We need to call on the Father and to rely on his strength. Continuing on, reading through to the end of that chapter, or that bit. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissension, faction and envy, drunkenness, orgies and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking and envying each other. Wow. It's a really strong passage, that, and there's a lot to take it in, you know. But I think when Paul was writing that, he realized how hard we would find life as Christians. Being a Christian can be very hard at times, but you know, without the power of the Holy Spirit, it would be impossible. Impossible. In Romans 8, that is only when the Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children, that we can call him Abba Father. You know, because without the Holy Spirit in, people don't give God a second thought. They don't give him a thought. Now, there's no need to become discouraged this morning, because one thing is always constant, and that is our Lord and Savior, our Heavenly Father, is always in control of all situations, no matter how dark they may look to us. And I always remember that picture of a jigsaw puzzle. When you turn it upside down, you can't see the faces on it and break it up. And you've got to go and pick out by shapes. It's very hard to piece it together, isn't it? But our Heavenly Father has got that jigsaw, and he's got the picture. He knows where all the pieces go. He doesn't have to wreck his brain like we do and spread it all over the floor, and you're fighting about, who's got the bit of blue? Have you got a bit of blue there? Have you got this? He knows where everything is going to go, and in his time, when to place it there. So we need to just rely on him. And I'd never make any apology for talking about my old friend, Jeremiah. I've actually added a couple more verses to it this morning. Jeremiah 29, 11 to 13. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. Wow. Just a little bit more of my old friend Jeremiah. But it's not Jeremiah. Jeremiah is only passing on a message from the Lord. So that's a promise, if you know the Lord, that you can take hold of and cherish. I know it's one that I turn to quite often. The Lord gives us direction and encouragement through the scriptures. And that's why it's important for us, not just to read them, but to study them. So that we can store up supplies, as it were, to meet the drought when it comes. And it will come. When the darkness falls, what do you need? You need light. You need oil for the lamps, don't you? So to enable us to be overcomers and deal with what confronts us. And when it comes to making plans, there's only one place we can turn, and that's to him. Proverbs 16 and verse 3 makes it quite clear, tells us, commit to the Lord whatever you do, and your plans will succeed. If you're walking in God's will, you're fireproof. You're covered. His will be done. And his plans that he has made for you will come to fruition. Yes, we need to pray to God for direction in all things before we start our plans, and not only when we hit a curve in the road or a bump in the road, and then we realize our mistake. We've all been there, we've all done it, and we'll continue to do it because we're human. Yeah? But never forget, when you hit that bump, let it bring you to your knees. And when you're down on your knees, before you get up, remember who to ask for help. And he will reach his hand out, and he will help you get back up on your feet. Now, decision making. Wow. Ephesians 5, 15 to 17 tells us, be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Well, couldn't be any clearer, could it? The only way we can be sure of the Lord's will, though, is by remaining in constant contact with him. We need to keep that power line open. And it's a two-way communication. You can't just sit back and wait for him to tell you exactly what to do. You know, it's a bit like the old sat-nav. She won't even talk to you unless you switch her on. You know, so You've got to have that two-way competition going there. And the only way, I say, you can be sure of knowing the Lord's will is to stay in communication with Him through prayer. Stress. What do you do for stress? Again, Scripture tells you in Psalm 46, 1-3, God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the hearts of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. Wow! You know, that's the Heavenly Father that we have. We can rely on Him for protection against everything that's out there. There's so many more helpful and useful scriptures to meet every occasion that I'm sure you're well aware of. And there's quite a few that I could have put into this reading this morning, but we'll be here for another week. But I would like to encourage you to study your Bibles, to get involved in whatever you feel your ministry is, whatever God is calling you to. You know, to maintain that good two-way communication with Him. And remember, He is available 24/7. No closing times, no engagement tones whenever you phone up, putting you through onto a speakerphone. You know, He is there ready and wanting to hear from His children. With that thought, I will close with a few verses from 1 John chapter 3, verses 2-3. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. All who have this hope in Him purify themselves just as He is pure. Wow. We need to put Him in total control of our lives if we want to enjoy the full rewards that He has for us. As our old friend Jeremiah told us, which we've just read, you know, and I never tire of listening to Jeremiah passing on the word of God to me. I find it very encouraging. And if we enjoy the whole power and strength that the Lord has for each one of us, enjoy His grace and His peace, and can claim ownership of His promises. But it's important, we need to understand that He wants all of you, as that lovely old song used to go, all of you. He wants total commitment. And you know what? When you consider what He done for each one of us, how could you deny that He deserves it? He went to the cross for everyone in the world to have the opportunity to accept His precious gift of salvation. His Father sent them there, and as Scripture tells us in the Gospel in a nutshell, which I haven't written in here, but you all know it. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. You know, doesn't He deserve our total commitment when you think of the commitment He made to make it possible for us to come back into a relationship with the Father? So, let's just pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the gift of Your Son. We thank You, Lord, that He is readily available for exception by anyone who wants to look into Your Word to get down on their knees, confess their sins, and to ask for your forgiveness and to accept your Son as their Lord and Savior. Scripture tells us that He is the way and the life. The only way to the Father is through Him. Father, we recognize that we are needy people. And as such, we would be really lost without your love, your mercy, and your grace. And we thank you, Lord, that we can have it abundantly. There is no limit to it because you're a loving and gracious Heavenly Father. And we thank you. We just pray that you bless us and bless those of us who are listening to this message in the future, that they will hear you in it and realize that the message is from you. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.